Hello everyone, welcome to Off The Shelf. My name is Richard and we're actually finally back. It's been a while and I'm going to explain why, and we'll also explain which comic book we're going to be taking a look at in today's episode. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and let's get down to business. So I started Off The Shelf back a few months back, actually. Was September. So it's been 3-4 months now as of recording. And when this goes out on the show, it'll be, roughly around 4 months since my last episode. And I only released one. And people are probably wondering why I just stopped, why I didn't carry on. What's the deal with that? And essentially, it's my own stupidity. I didn't feel like I was worthy or right to comment on these comics. But then I thought, screw it. I enjoy reading them. And you know what? If people enjoy, you know, listening to what I've got to say, then great. But I don't know that until I start putting out more content. It's as simple as that. So I grew a spine, grew some balls, and decided, you know what? I'm going to carry on my mission to read all of the comics that I never read as a kid and go through the things that I set out in my first episode of going through those comics in my way. And it may not suit what other people are looking for or may not suit what people want, but it was my way and I'm going to do that. So we are going to continue with my read through of all those old Marvel comics, but I wanted to take a break, even though we've done one episode. I wanted to do one that was inspired by the recent Disney Plus series of WandaVision, and I wanted to take some time with the House of M, which is the series of comics. Now, before I get into that, I want to say this, that I will make mistakes. I'm learning about these comics as I read them. I'm coming from an MCU background, not starting from comics then watching the films. I'm going the other way, so if I make mistakes, get characters wrong, I will rectify them in follow-up episodes, or it's a freehand podcast, it's just how it is. So in today's episode, now that we've got that out of the way, I've got my coffee in front of me, we're gonna break down my thoughts and feelings and what happens in issue number one.
So House of M takes place
in Earth 58163, and many people will know that listen to the show and that are involved and enjoy the comics and the films and the TV programs. There are multiple different universes within the fabric of the Marvel universe. The cinematic universe dabbled on this in Spider-Man and with Infinity War. They all dabbled in this sense that, Endgame, one of the two. I need to rewatch the films. They dabbled with this kind of, multiverse, and Earth 58163 is no different. It's that different universe where you had the mutant and human war, which broke out within the 20th century. And within that, you have the House of M series of comics, which sees Wanda Maximoff or Scarlet Witch opening the comic with what I think is probably one of my favorite scenes from some of the comic books I've scanned. And that's basically her dissolving into fragments. Almost the best way I can describe it, if you've never seen this comic, and spoilers for issue number one and all issues going ahead, is it's her in like a jigsaw writhing in pain, and parts of her mind, her brain, are being pulled away. And it's like the fabric of the universe breaking apart. Remember, what we know is that, Wanda's powers are of, the ability to create and manipulate the fabrics of reality around her. You see in the cinematic universe, she's made of the Reality Stone. And in the recent episode, and spoilers for WandaVision, there'll be some dabbled spoilers in this. You see her use those powers in a way that shows the significance of where the state of mind is for Wanda. And I think that's the big takeaway from this opening cover, the House of M issue one variant cover by Joe. I'm not going to pronounce the last name. I'm terrible with pronunciations of name, and I don't want to get it wrong. But there is this broken down fabric, fragmented woman in writhing in pain, not understanding what's going on from the front cover alone. And I think that, you know, it shows as the underlining theme throughout this entire issue. You know, the issue opens up with Wanda, and you're not sure what you're in for, because I know I wasn't. There's a couple of panels that literally hit me square in the gut. I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming. I don't know these. So this is, you know, it's quite good to get my fresh reaction down. And she's in pain and you kind of wonder what's going on. And as you go through, she's giving birth and there's a group of people around her. But the big takeaway is the colors of the panel. Everything's red. Scarlet Witch bears the color red. She bears the color red. Don't know what red is. But the big thing is, in these panels, you can see broken parts of reality. Like, there are fragmented bits floating around the room, and something doesn't sit right. Something isn't quite right with what's going on. And the bottom of this first panel, or the second panel, sorry, you can just see the words, "Now put it back." And you have Wanda cradling these babies with Vision over her, and Vision is very red, you know, not the usual purple color that we've grown to know him, or we know him as. You know, he's standing there and Wanda comes out with twins. "Did you hear that, my husband? Twins." And, you know, that is kind of what we saw in WandaVision. We saw this kind of her giving birth, and there she is, you know, twins. So, you know, as I should have said at the beginning, there's going to be kind of me flicking between the Disney Plus series and this, because I think, you know, me personally, I think there's comparisons from now reading The House of M or the first. There's definitely comparisons in both. And then you see Charles Xavier out, you know, rolling up, you know, and he's basically telling Wanda to put reality back to normal. And she's like, "No, but my children, you know, you can't do this. Don't take my children away from me." And Vision is like, "Don't speak to my wife like that." But at this point, you realize that everything isn't as it seems. Again, you still have this kind of post-apocalyptic color palette to the comic. And the bits where Charles is screaming at Wanda is completely black, which sets apart what's going on. Clearly, you can kind of tell that there's a distinct setting difference. Like, Xavier's in the mind of Wanda and trying to break Wanda free from whatever reality she's in. And it's the bottom of this third panel that really kind of was like, wow, you know, this broken down, everything's breaking to pieces. Everything looks like the blip from Infinity War, and everything's shattering. It's kind of like, you know, glass shattering around, and her babies are in her hand dissolving in front of her. It's kind of quite a powerful image, as powerful as the front cover. And you see this woman writhing in pain. There's a statue in the background of the fourth panel, and she's like, "I killed my husband," and she's killed the Avengers. Like, and for me, I'm sitting there going, "Hang on a minute, I think I missed a few issues before this. I think I've jumped in at the wrong time, and at some point through this show, we'll go back to the comics before this." And she's Charles Xavier is cradling her. And it kind of gives you a nice little synopsis of what happens, you know. "And there came the day, unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes found themselves united against a common threat. On the day, the Avengers were born to fight the foes no single superhero could withstand. Born with strange powers, the mutants known as the X-Men use their awesome abilities to protect the world that hates them and fears them. and that's previously in Uncanny X-Men. Professor Charles Xavier, legendary founder of the X-Men, whose dreams of a peaceful coexistence between humans and mutants has come to Genosha, with one intention: to rebuild a mutant nation from its devastated ashes. Previously in Avengers, it was the worst day in Avengers history. The Scarlet Witch suffered a total nervous breakdown after losing control of her reality-altering powers in the chaos created around the breakdown. Beloved Avengers Hawkeye, Ant-Man, and Vision lost their lives. Many of the other Avengers were hurt, both emotionally and physically. That was 6 months ago. So this is 6 months after those incidents. That incident in Avengers, and we'll go back to it. I probably should have started with those ones, but I'm jumping in. And it's interesting, if they're basing WandaVision on this, or they're using parts of this comic to kind of give the narrative threat, when you watch WandaVision, you can see the emotional, especially this last episode, there's a PTSD or the emotional stew of what happened in Infinity War and in Endgame, because the show picks, you know, this episode that we just had literally picks up, or it shows where this slots in to the MCU, and it picks up just as the blip like kicks in, and you know, this town of Westview has completely disappeared. And Wanda's made it her own reality, if you like. She's kind of shut the world off, and it's almost like a PTSD reaction, or you know, this emotional breakdown of losing Vision due to Thanos. And you can kind of see the resemblances. They've taken parts of the House of M and this comic book series, and they've gone, how can we tie this in? But not only that, rumor has it we're getting mutants coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe now that, you know, Fox is all part of Disney, and those IPs are now, you know, within the Disney ownership, if you like, which gives us that ability to now bring in mutants. So if this is how they're going to do it, and it kind of sees the right way to do it, but it also keeps that WandaVision series, if you like, true to the cinematic universe, and it brings them in quite nicely. And you can use this House of M as kind of your measure or goal of kind of what we're going to use as our semi plot. I think I've explained that perfectly badly. Comic goes on, and there's a man standing there talking to Charles Xavier, and he's essentially talking. And I had to kind of research his character, Eric Magneto, Wanda's father. Again, if I got that wrong, please scream at me. I'll let you know at the end of the show, we can get in touch. And they're discussing the idea of, you know, trying to save Wanda. And this first issue is about what I've taken away from these panels, that Charles can't do anything. He's sitting there with a nosebleed. So clearly having to tap into Wanda's mind is using a lot of Charles's strength, a lot of his power to kind of delve in to try and break Wanda from these reality snaps. He's in Genosha trying to, he's isolated Wanda from the rest of the world. And Magneto is guilty. He's, you know, can't do anything. He trained Wanda to essentially kill humans, and he's prepared to sacrifice them all. And Wanda's turned into she's absolutely kind of gone off the rails. And it's, you know, has it hurt him? I don't know. He's coming across here that he feels guilty for the stuff he's put Wanda, his children, through. But I suppose we'll see later on to what extent. As I said, Charles is sitting there nursing a nosebleed, this discussion, and Magneto kind of flies off, and he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm done. And there's this discussion, you know, brewing in the background, or you can tell from these panels, Charles needs a plan. He needs to come up with an idea of how to deal with this threat to human life, or, you know, this world. it's not just human life, but this world, this existence is being manipulated or taught. How far is that kind of going to spread? How far is Wanda's power going to spread before we have too much more cataclysmic damage? And then we're in New York. You know, it goes from, and the contrast is unreal between just these two panels. I don't know what panel numbers they are, but you go from post-apocalyptic skies, you know, we're using oranges, browns, grays, and these colors to really show how desperate and dark and dilapidated this area is, to New York, which is hustling and bustling. Avengers Tower is built. They're using blues, whites, greens, a very, you know, very colorful kind of punchy colors to show that New York is hustling and bustling. And the contrast between these two is uncanny, that, you know, there is a place where there is real destruction and devastation to New York, where everything's all good. It's, you know, not been touched by this experience of Wanda's destruction. And you see Carol Danvers, Sam Wilson, and Simon Williams, Wonder Man, you know, all stand there, kind of a bit incognito. People are asking, is that the new Avengers Mansion? And it seems like there's a point, or there's a part of this panel where their general public are saying they don't know this is the Avengers Tower yet. They're basically like, well, we don't know the Avengers are there. Again, I don't know the backstory to this, so this may play a part of what happened previously in the previous 6 months, or 6 months before this. Maybe, you know, there was this incident that involves Wanda, as we had that little catch up. People are now fearful again of superheroes. There's this kind of point of, oh god, she's in a bad way. Is she going to kill us all? You know, is there major issues afoot? And we go through and we see a meeting being taken place between the X-Men and Avengers. And there's this argument of where Wanda stands. Is she a mutant or is she an Avenger? And they're deciding what to do with her, you know, and is this meeting. And in this panel, it's a really cool looking panel. You've got, just to name a few, Carol Danvers, Captain America, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, who I thought was Mephisto from the back. I was like, why is Mephisto here? I got really confused. And there's this discussion of, you know, what they actually have to do with Wanda. Are they going to eliminate her, or how can they help her? You've got two of the greatest, you know, minds there in Doctor Strange and Charles Xavier, and both of them have struggled to know how to control this ticking time bomb. And then we see her brother, Pietro, is basically, I don't know how to describe this panel. You've got Wanda sleeping. She's in a hospital gown, bed. I love, I'll get to the artwork towards the end. And Pietro is literally screaming at his father. They're going to kill her. They're going to end Wanda's life. And, you know, it's unbelievable to, you know, there's this kind of argument of, you know, why aren't you doing more to help Wanda? You know, this is your daughter. You're going to allow Charles Xavier to go over to the Avengers and, you know, get the X-Men together, and they're going to kill your own daughter. And there's a massive breakdown, and there's this two panels where you can see Quicksilver literally screaming at Magneto, and Magneto just, I'm guessing the response from him is, you know, the anger, the rage, the guilt, the emotion all coming out, because Quicksilver's face is absolutely petrified of what this reaction from his father. You know, you remember what it's like as a child. You know, you've pissed your dad off enough. There's this kind of like, his face reminds me of it. You know, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. But this is, that kind of guy goes beyond that. And it's all these emotions being completely and utterly leveled out at, you know, Pietro, because, you know, he's like, that's my sister they're going to try and kill. I don't want this. That's my sister. Dad, do something. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? Come on, help, you know, give me an idea. And, you know, we go back to, again, I'll go more into the colors and everything else shortly once I've gone through the comic. And we go back to the discussion, and I love the fact that Wolverine's eating pizza. He's chilling. He's like, you know, they've spent, you know, 20 minutes explaining that the girl's out to lunch, and that one, the world is even, the world is every kind of danger because of her. He's like, you know, come on, what are we doing? But I love Cap here. And I remember watching Infinity War, and the way Cap comes across, and when they've got Vision with the Mind Stone, and he's like, it's the same thing here, you know. He's like, there is always a way. And he's like, there, you know, Cap doesn't want to put Wanda down. Cap's like, there must be a way to save her. And they're all like, you know, we're going to put her down. Spider-Man's like, what, is she a dog? You know, they're literally going to put her down. And Cap's like, no, there must be a way. There must be a way. But again, you get a contrast between the two panels. The one with Wanda's in, that setting is all dark and it's broken. Where, colorful New York. But there's definitely, you know, there's issues of between the fact, you know, different groups of deciding what to do. Is she an X-Men, or is she a mutant? Is she human? Who gets to decide? You know, going through these panels, there's a vote between, I think it's, you know, Emma Frost throws up a, should we vote? And Cap's like, she's not an Avenger. No, she's not an X-Men. She's an Avenger. And, well, we haven't all heard from all of them. She's a mutant threat, you know, and it's this kind of like, she's a mutant threat. And we X-Men have dedicated our lives to dealing with mutant threats to, and a response to that is threats to mutants, not mutant. We do both. And this one, Wanda, is both if word got out. And it's this discussion from the mutants. Sorry, I explained that really badly. But this discussion between them is like, there's this existence between human and mutants, and everything is kind of fine and dandy. And if all of a sudden it got out that Wanda is a mutant, they're concerned that it would put back mutant and human relationships like back to the Stone Age. But the Avengers are like, well, hang on a minute, she's an Avenger, we should decide what to do with her, but we don't want to kill her. So it's this kind of like, what do we do? A catch 22. And Cap is like, that person is like, nope, there's a way. We're going to solve it. We're going to do it this, you know, we're going to find a way to save her before we have to kill her. You know, in Cap's eyes, killing an Avenger is the last step. Again, in Infinity War, they were going to do everything to protect Vision, get the Mind Stone out of his head, get out of his head and go and, but save him first. Bring Vision to life without the Mind Stone. He's an Avenger, you know. And I love Spider-Man's comics. Like, I'm not gonna be home for dinner then, am I? So it's like, I like how they kind of kept Spider-Man as true as possible. And then you see them fly to Genosha. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And again, we go back from this lovely looking New York to apocalyptic area. And just quickly looked at just heard my iPad smash on my desk. Genosha is the Republic of Genosha, is a small crescent shaped island located off the northeast of Madagascar, the eastern coast of Africa in the Indian Ocean. And it's basically I don't know how to put it, it's like a haven. Yeah, a haven, I think is the best way to put it. It's the mutant paradise, and it's been devastated, clearly, by the way we're looking. And we go through, and all of a sudden, the Avengers realize, crap, Wanda's not here. She's gone. What? Where is she? You know, who's taking her? And no one knows. And all of a sudden, one of them goes, he took her. And they're going down to her dad, Eric. Eric has taken her. But Doctor Who can't find anything. You know, Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange can't find her. You know, Iron Man's like, Doctor, can you find Wanda with your... he's like, how could he if they're psychic? And he's like, don't know. I don't know something with the magic or... So there's this kind of really weird... I'm explaining the comics. I'm reading them really badly. But it's really weird kind of, crap, what's going on? You know, and all of a sudden, everything's a bit twisted. And they're like, we need to bail. We need to get out of here ASAP. And Emma's like, I found them. And all of a sudden, they kind of clear off. And Iron Man's like, listen, if any of you feel anything different about yourselves, try to tell us before it's too. And Avengers are like, let Emma take the lead. We have more experience with that. And there's kind of all these points of, hang on, stop here, stop there. It's all a bit kind of like, there's something going on. You know, and Spider-Man's like, I can't sense anything. And all of a sudden, like, the last few panels is concentrated on Spider-Man. And he's like, and all of a sudden he disappears. And you can see kind of silhouette shadows of the different Avengers. And Spider-Man's on his own. And then you get this bright light. And the only way I can describe this bright light is the guy, one of the enemies from Thor, the Cyclops thing. It has a name, and I apologize, I got it wrong. Just absolute blinding light. And the last panel that you're left with before the end of this episode or this series is Peter waking up like he's got a hangover and he's back in a bed. But where is he? And there's a picture of, and I don't know if it's the same area, but I'm guessing it is. It's almost like Wanda's tapped into Peter's brain. And is that someone in his head who he wants to marry, which be MJ? You know, is that, you know, he won't wake up, Peter, it's your turn. How's it my turn coming? And he's getting out of bed. And is that Peter in bed with someone? Or is that a different person on the bottom panel? And we'll find out hopefully in the next episode or the next comic. I probably didn't do the end of that the end of the comic justice. There's a lot going on. But the main takeaway from those last few panels is the Avengers turn up and they're like, crap. Or the Avengers and the X-Men turn up and they're like, do you know what? We shouldn't be here. You know, people are disappearing. And it's Wanda's obviously tapped in and she's taking them and she understands what's going on. She's like, hang on a minute, you're coming out to kill me. It's either Wanda or Magneto doing this. You know, they don't want them to get to her. So I didn't plan for this to go longer than 30 minutes, but I think it might do. The overall takeaway from this is it's a quality looking comic, you know, especially from the first one I read, which was, you know, back in the 60s. And there's nothing wrong with those. They paved the way for these comics that we got now. I don't know what the overall series would be like because I haven't read them all. But this one's good. It sets the scene nicely. I love the contrast in panels. You know, Genosha is, and I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. I feel like I pronounce a lot of things wrong. It's post-apocalyptic. The browns, the oranges in the panels, the dark use of colors. It shows the pain that's in these panels. You can see Charles Xavier's in pain because he can't help, you know, Wanda. You can see that Wanda's writhing in pain everywhere. Everywhere that, every scene that Wanda's in, even the giving birth scene towards the beginning, with Wanda and Vision. Vision looks sinister. He looks, you know, he doesn't look himself. And the way the artist has drawn Wanda, even looking at the babies, there's this kind of look of emptiness. You know, there's a look of pain, the fragments around her, you can tell that things aren't as it should be. That opening cover, as I said, or the opening, you know, picture cover is incredible. A jigsaw fragmented, fingers coming away. Again, in that cover, the use of colors is, it's the reds, it's the dark reds, it's the oranges, it's the blacks, the browns. Painting that real post-apocalyptic world where things aren't right. And the contrast to New York being this place where quite possibly the incident in Genosha hasn't spilled out to the world, or it has spilled out, but they don't know that the Avengers have set up home in New York. You know, could we be seeing this incident where the humans can see Wanda as an Avenger, or, you know, the general public sees Wanda as an Avenger and they blame the Avengers for what happened. I don't know. You know, I'll have to read the previous stuff, or maybe this will come out, you know, later. And then again, the panels where you get to see, you know, Magneto and Eric, the browns have gone. It's dark blues and blacks, and they're predicting this kind of fight, this struggle between, you know, is it right that Charles, the Avengers, the X-Men decide what to do? And clearly they took her, you know, they've taken her. And I love what it left me with is intrigued to read on, to do episode or the second comic, to see what actually happened. This bright light, is it just Spider-Man that's been warped into a different area? Has Wanda read Peter's mind and gone, I know what you want. This is your reality. This is what you really want, you know? Or has he just been ported home? And that is who he is. And that's where he is. Remember, this is a different universe. That may not be MJ. That could be someone else. So that is House of M, issue number one. Tied in with a little bit of WandaVision. As WandaVision goes on, we'll tie in a bit more. Let me know what you think. That's kind of, overall, I feel this is great. Yeah. And the reason I've kind of jumped from the old stuff to the new stuff is I kind of want to mix the show up. We will carry on doing this, you know, the old things as well. But the HD pop is much more appealing on the eyes as well. And yeah, it's quite nice to just do something like this. And we'll pick up issue number two next week when this goes out. So let me know what you think. You can get in touch with the show at offtheshelfcast@gmail.com. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at thatchapsapp. Off the Shelf Cast is also on Twitter. Let me know. Give me your thoughts, feelings. Get in touch with me. If you think, you know, constructively, you can give me some advice on what we should do and how to discuss these comics, then please do get in touch with me. I would appreciate it all the time. And Off the Shelf Cast is back every single Friday for your listening entertainment. I'll try not to drop the ball with it in future, and also grow a pair, I think. Anyway. See you all on the next one. Bye-bye.